Let's read together Psalms 145 and 146. Both of these psalms are praise songs, and along with Psalms 147 through 150, which are also praise songs, they make up the last section of the book of Psalms. Let's begin by reading the title to Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. Let's consider a few background notes for this psalm. We see from the title of this psalm that it is a psalm of praise of David. This is the last psalm attributed to David by title in the book of Psalms. Question: how many times do you think the term a psalm of praise that we have in this title is used in the book of Psalms, either in the titles or the Psalms themselves? Answer: once. Now that seems surprising in view of the fact that so many of the Psalms are Psalms of praise, but this is the only place where this express term is used, a Psalm of praise. Psalm 145 is one of the alphabetic acrostic Psalms. That is, each verse begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Wait a minute, you say. I thought that there were 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm only has 21 verses. That's right. The Hebrew N or Nun is missing. Now, why would David leave out one letter? Is the Hebrew N like our English X, which gives us a problem when we want to compose a praise verse beginning with that letter? No. The answer is that it appears that David did not leave out the N when David composed the psalm. The missing Hebrew letter N, or Nun, is included in the ancient Dead Sea Scroll copies of Psalms. It's also included in the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, as well as other ancient translations. You will notice that the end of verse 13 in the New International Version reads, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." That's the praise line that begins with the Hebrew letter N or Nun, which the NIV translators chose to include because it probably is part of the original text. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 145. God is great in his greatness, goodness, glory, and grace. God is great in his greatness, goodness, glory, and grace. Let's read this psalm of praise. Psalm 145, beginning now with verse 1. "I will praise you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is beyond our understanding. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." It's easy to see that the theme of this psalm is God's greatness. A well-known commentary outlined Psalm 145 as follows. The greatness of God, verses 1 through 6. The goodness of God, verses 7 through 11. The glory of God, verses 11 through 13. And the grace of God, verses 14 through 21. Because the theme of this psalm is God's greatness, we could add the word great to each of the outline points. The great greatness of God, verses 1 through 6. The great goodness of God, verses 7 through 10. The great glory of God, verses 11 through 13. And the great grace of God, verses 14 through 21. In verses 1 through 6, we see that as believers, we should not only meditate upon God's great greatness, verse 5, but we should tell it to others, to our children and the next generation, verse 4, and to everyone with whom we come in contact, verses 6 and 7. In verses 7 through 10, the great goodness of God is emphasized. Verse 7, God's great goodness. And verse 9, the Lord is good to all. Notice from these verses that God's mercy is an essential part of God's great goodness, and no one can argue that God is not merciful. God's great glory is brought out in verses 11 through 13. His glory is known not only in his mighty acts of power, but in the majesty of his kingdom. That kingdom, in all its glory, will literally be established here on this earth when the Lord returns. It is an everlasting kingdom because it will merge with eternity. Verses 11 through 13. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The great grace of God is seen in verses 14 through 21. God is not required to uphold those who fall or provide for those in need or show kindness in his righteous ways, but he does so in his grace. God is great in his greatness, goodness, glory, and grace. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 145? Don't take away from God's greatness. Don't take away from God's greatness. I would never do that, you say. You do take away from God's greatness if your prayer life centers around requests instead of praise. David said in verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever." David did not take away from God's greatness by just praying prayer requests. No, he made sure his prayers were heavy in praise to the Lord, and so should we. Don't take away from God's greatness. Let's continue reading Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a human being, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 146. Psalm 146 through Psalm 150, these psalms are known as the last Hallel. Remember, Hallel means praise, and Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Notice how all five of these psalms, Psalms 146 through 150, begin with praise the Lord and end with praise the Lord. These last five psalms form a fitting final doxology to the book of Psalms. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 146. God does not have human limitations. God does not have human limitations. Now, it's okay for us to trust in our fellow human beings in whom we have confidence, but we must remember that they all have human limitations. The Lord is the only one we can trust completely. Princes and presidents may help you with their policies, but they can't give you eternal salvation. Only God can save you. Verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a human being in whom there is no salvation. Not only that, human leaders die as all men do. Verse 4, and dead people can't help you. But the Lord is the creator of all and lives forever. Verse 6, you are truly blessed if your hope and help is in the Lord. Verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. In verses 7 through 9, we have a number of good things that the Lord does. And we should follow his example and do these good things as well. But of course, we can only follow so far because of human limitations. The Lord executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over strangers. The Lord relieves the fatherless and widow. And the Lord can turn the way of the wicked upside down. No wonder we should praise the Lord who will reign forever. Verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. God does not have human limitations. And now what about practical application for Psalm 146? Remember, blindness and imprisonment can be more than physical. Blindness and imprisonment can be more than physical. At the end of verse 7 and the beginning of verse 8, we read, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Now, the Lord can literally do that, as he did for Paul and Silas when they were imprisoned at Philippi, or as he did for blind Bartimaeus at Jericho. But there are all kinds of imprisonment and blindness that the Lord can deliver from, then and today. The Lord can bring freedom to those who are imprisoned by certain addictions and lifestyles. The Lord can open the eyes of those who are blinded to the truth by Satan, as we all were before the Lord brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. And we know from the prophetic scriptures that the spiritual blindness of Israel as to their Messiah will be removed in a coming day, and they will turn to the Lord and see. Remember, blindness and imprisonment can be more than physical.